board to order. The secretary can call the roll.
Sure.
Another Vermont success story.
Tagger O'Brien?
Here.
Gary Dombrowski?
Yes.
Thank you. Mary Ann Fishman? Carolyn Kilbride?
Here.
David Crosby? Member Shub Kegel is absent. Chairman Martin?
Here. And we have a quorum.
Yes, we do.
The first item on the agenda this evening is to review the minutes of our November 7th development review board meeting. Everybody had an opportunity to review these. Any comments? Somebody want to make a motion to approve the minutes of November 7th meeting?
I move. Member Fishman?
I'll second.
Mr. Crosby, thank you.
Any discussion? You call the roll, please.
Sure. Ms. Fishman? Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Ms. Kilbride?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski? Gary, I think you're done with yourself.
Oh, shit. I'm like,
yes.
Fire Chief Kurt.
Looks like Tagger may have fallen off. We still have a quorum and a majority. Oh, and Chairman Martin.
All right, so now we have the minutes of the 15th of the review board. This is the first meeting that was continued. We have a motion to approve these.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Sure. Ms. Fishman? Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Ms. Kilbride?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
And Ms. O'Brien? Yes. Okay, she's absent. Chairman Martin?
So our May 7th meeting, this is the first date to which the application was continued, and again, that date, the meeting was continued to this evening.
I'll motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? All the roll, please.
Before we do this, just a housekeeping matter. I've gotten a note from someone online that the audio is very low, so if you could just do us a favor, make sure.
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Ms. Kilbride?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
I'm sorry, could you tell me what this is, this next round is referring to?
Sure. It's approval of the May 7th minutes of the Development Review Board.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I still don't see Ms. O'Brien. Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, so then the next thing on the agenda this evening is a continued public hearing for the application for a plan development at 1101 to 1111 Bonnie Bray. Even though this is styled as a continued public hearing, this is in fact the first time that the application is going to be presented to the Development Review Board. You know, obviously we're working under some unusual circumstances this evening. With the meeting being conducted primarily remotely. One of the rules that we want to follow tonight is that everybody who's on Zoom, that you're not allowed to eat or drink or get up or watch television while this is going on, because that's not going to be fair to the rest of us. So we also are going to have difficulty this evening with making sure that the witnesses who testify before us are all sworn in. So what I'd like to do is, at this point, everyone who's going to address the board at this hearing, if you please stand and get sworn in by the secretary, then at the time that we ask you to present to us, we're going to ask you to affirm that you have been sworn in.
you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matters before this development review board?
I do.
All right, so the practice that we follow is to permit the applicant to make the initial presentation to the development review board. When the applicant has concluded their presentation, we will call upon the village experts, the village staff, to see if they have any comments for this application. After the village staff has completed their application, we will go through and take public testimony. And I know that we already have a list of some of the people who wanted to address us this evening. We will make sure that everyone who wishes to address us has that opportunity. At the conclusion of the public testimony, we permit the applicant to respond to any of the questions or issues that are raised. And then we will close the public portion of the meeting. And as the development review board, we will discuss the application, and ultimately we will make a recommendation to the village board of trustees. This is a very complex application. It's our practice that we will recess this meeting at about 10 o'clock tonight. So if we don't get done tonight, it will be continued, and you will have an opportunity to address us at the continued hearing. That having been said, it's at this time for the applicant to go ahead and make a presentation of this petition.
Give me 1 minute to pull up the presentation, and then I will share it for those of you on the Zoom call so that you can see these materials. Either one of those files, John?
The bottom one, please.
Okay.
Great. Oh, wow.
Just let me know really if you'd like me to advance the slide.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and everyone else on Zoom. My name is John Sheese with a place of business at 400 Ashland in River Forest. We are presenting tonight the development at Bonnie Bray and Thomas. Next slide, please. As a way of introduction, my client is the current property owner and the developer, Bonnie Bray Construction LLC. Art Gurevich, the principal of that corporation, is here tonight in case you have questions for him. I am the architect and development consultant for the development. Next, please. The first slide shows the village's zoning map as a way of providing context. The three diagonally hatched properties there that are located at this site is directly across from Concordia on Bonnie Bray at the corner of Bonnie Bray and Thomas. We have some other slides to give you the context, but this is the zoning context for it. The zoning districts are in the upper right-hand corner. Next slide, please. Here are some photographs of the site. We've added the boundary line. It's an approximate boundary for the site, as you'll see in drawn form. The existing structure there, that is part of the development site, as is the parking lot that you can see right at the corner of Bonnie Bray and Thomas. Next slide, please. Here's an aerial view. It gives you a good context. It was something that informed our built product, and there you can see how the site does incorporate the building. It also has an alley to the east, so it actually is bounded on three sides by public rights of way: Bonnie Bray, Thomas, and the alley to the east. This is a reverse view of that, shows you again the context with Concordia to the top part of the page. The reason why we load these up is just so that in case there's questions about the context, we can always come back to these slides. Thank you, Lisa. The next is a survey from the surveyor that shows the entire, we call it a parcel, but you can see that it is actually three legal parcels. The two parcels on the corner are the parking lot, and the third parcel's where the multifamily building is, the three-story building. Next slide, please. This is the site plan that we are proposing tonight. We've gone through a couple of iterations, so if it looks familiar, I'm glad that it does, but we've made some modifications to it. The most recent that is up on the screen there is the site plan that was part of your package. It has 18 townhomes in six buildings. As I mentioned, you've seen other iterations where there were fewer buildings and more townhomes. We've broken this down based on previous feedback, both from staff and your consultant on previous iterations of this site plan. But it has a primary drive off of Thomas. It has two townhome buildings that front Bonnie Bray, two buildings that are in the middle, and then the other two townhomes that are that back up to the alley. I can go ahead and talk about the setbacks a little later. I'd like to focus on those because John Housiel's report starts to address some of those, and so we'd like to take a harder look at those setbacks, but for now I think I'd like to move on with the presentation and possibly come back to those.
I think there's a microphone that's causing that feedback, not one of the screens, somebody who's live on Zoom. So if you are on the Zoom call and you are in the room, if you have a microphone on your device, please mute it. Okay, I'm sorry, John.
No worries.
Am I on the right slide for you?
Yes, you are. Okay. Thank you. So the townhomes are fundamentally three stories. They have a two-car garage within the unit on grade, so you drive in to the two-car garage. On the main floor is a third bedroom with a bathroom, some utility spaces, and then you ascend to the second floor, which is a living floor. It is clear span front to rear. These are the what some folks call townhomes 3.0. Other iterations actually broke up this floor plan. You may recognize the footprint. It's a 20 by 30 something, you know, almost 40 foot footprint. These have been around, and you can find them as prototypes throughout the village. Obviously, there are end units and middle units. So each one of the townhome buildings has three units in them. So there's one middle unit for every building. That's a fundamental change from our previous site plans where we had a higher percentage of middle units. Now every building has two end units, so therefore you can get some additional light. That's an important thing when you're looking at townhome design. I'm going to refer to some of the other iterations of this prototype in the village, namely the townhomes on Madison. If you remember that, they had a higher percentage of middle units than we have here. Here we essentially have 33% of the units are middle units, one third. Next slide, please. We can always come back. These are our elevations, our proposed elevations. They're a combination of brick. We have some samples here tonight, and limestone design. The limestone design is used to frame the brick, and as it turns the corner, we take that same sensibility, that same framing the brick, and turn it around. Some of the units have bays on different floors. That's just to help the articulation so you don't get flat facades. There is some further articulation of units where we take townhomes and set them back. The first slide shows that. I mean, the first image on the slide on the left shows that shift. You could see that shift on the site plan as well. That creates some relief as opposed to a wall. The other relief that we're hoping is there is that you see that we've created green space between every third unit. And that's the rhythm that you get. If you walk down Bonnie Bray heading north, you see that multifamily building green space, multifamily building green space. So we try to accomplish that there. And that green space goes clear through the alley now. It in previous iterations, it was broken up by the middle or the rear townhomes. Now that green space goes clear to the back. We have a winding path to get to the back townhomes from Bonnie Bray. Next slide, please. This is a side view on Thomas. You see the front building with the side elevations. This is a more specific example of the end units and how we are looking to capture more light. The light is primarily in the living spaces. You see the stacked and double stacked windows, trying to get more light in there. More light is more better and in this design because it's fundamentally a box when everything's said and done. Next, please. Next slide. This is the other side of that turnaround. So you see, the three building side elevations. I will point out the cantilevered balconies. Those come off of the kitchens. It's a great place to put a grill or a little bistro table, things like that, just extending the living space outdoors. Next slide, please. This is the elevation you would see from the east alley. You see the two rear buildings, the garage doors, for the two-car parking, the balcony, and then the two windows above for the bedrooms. Next slide, please. I'm not sure why this is here, but it's the same slide, the Bonnie Bray. There we go. This is a rendering. This is an artist's rendering of what we believe the development will look like. We have some brick colors, but you could see the design intent of building green space, which is a similar pattern going down. This is a view looking down east on Thomas. Next slide, please. This is a reverse view looking south on Bonnie Bray. Again, the walkways and how to get to from west to east. Next slide, please. We conducted some shadow studies to see the impact of this development on the best case of the year, June 22nd, coming up in a few days. That's when the sun is at the highest angle. In the worst case, for sun shadows, that is, December 22nd, no offense on anybody's birthday on December 22nd, but it is in this hemisphere where we live, the longest shadows are cast. And you could see how our shadows would impact neighbors. Next slide, please. We have some material. This is the waste and recycling center. It's an outdoor, and it's completely contained so that we don't want other folks seeing the trash and recycling containers. Next slide, please. This is a landscape plan, and it points out trees, tree locations, species, things like that, that we are proposing. And you can see the green space going both between units and between buildings. Next slide, please. So this is where the rubber meets the road. This is part of the application packet, and we take a look at the current zoning, and then we compare that to our on the provided column. In other words, we take a look at the standard, whether it's a requirement or a maximum, and then we look at that as it is gauged against our proposed plan. So, for example, for lot coverage, 70% is proposed, or that's the maximum. 70%, we actually have a 74% lot coverage. So we are asking for SDA, site development allowance, for that 4% that we are over. Front setback on the front property line, from the front property line to the closest building. Remember, they're staggered a little bit. So that would be 15 feet. So in other words, the required setback is 20. Our buildings is setback 15. So we would need a site development allowance for that 5 feet. The side, we are on the north side, the required setback is 5 feet, 3 feet, thank you. We are providing 5, so we do not need a setback for that in terms of the zoning ordinance. The side or the south, that requirement is 25 feet because remember we're on a corner. Typically a side yard would not be 25 feet, but we are. And we are 5 feet away, so we would be requesting an SDA of 20 feet for that. The rear yard setback is 27, the requirement is 27 feet, 8 inches. We have a 2 foot setback, and so we would be requesting a 25 foot, 8 inch setback for that. Building height, the maximum building height.
John, yes. I'm looking at a chart here that's dated March 27th.
Do you have a handout for that?
Let
me look at my. Yes, I have one dated March 11th, Mr. Chairman.
I got one dated March 27th.
That's what that was in the packet.
Right.
March, at the very end.
Right. March 27th. But these reading numbers that are not on this.
Well, I think this is upgraded. I think you updated it, right? It's not.
Well, usually when he upgrades it, they hand something out to us, so we're not dark.
Let me check them against this, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Okay. I need Lisa to go back.
You have a new exhibit for
us. The exhibit would be the site plan that's in your packet, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah, could you go back to the site plan? Some of these numbers are not lining up with the site plan, Lisa. Right there. Yeah. So the setback, that chart is wrong then. So the site plan is correct.
Can I ask a question?
I don't know, Mr. Chairman.
Can I ask a question? This is put here as our handout, but this is different than what's in our packet.
So we'd like to get through the presentation and then, we'll, and then look at that.
Got it. Yes. So don't look at this right now.
No.
Okay.
Not right now.
Okay, so make your presentation and then try and correct whatever it is.
Sure. It's fundamentally that chart. The site plan is correct, Mr. Chairman. Lisa, if we could go back and pass the chart. Right there. So... Well, we've already said this is not right, so I'm going to go past that slide. Yeah. So my client is pointing out that just the rear yard is wrong. It's showing, the chart is showing it at 2 feet when in fact it should be 5 feet. In terms of an exhibit, I would rather eliminate this slide as a part of evidence, Mr. Chairman. It's going to be too confusing to do that. All of the data here is driven by the site plan, and my testimony is that the site plan is correct. Lisa, if we could go to the next slide. This is overall data. It gives you the lot size. The townhomes are 18 townhomes in 6 buildings. In terms of parking, there's a total of 40 parking spaces, 2 per home, and there are 4 guest spaces. Those are exterior parking spaces. Lisa, next slide. I always like to bring this up. This is a slide that we showed during the preliminary. We believe this is a sustainable development, and by that we mean that it's a housing type that can go through and be adapted to different as the development lives on in the village. It's smart growth meaning we're placing the development in a part of the village that needs this type of growth, not necessarily a highest and best use that tries to get as much density on the site. Granted, the footprint is spread out because of the product type, meaning a townhome versus a mid-rise or building. It's supportive housing types throughout River Forest. There aren't that many townhome developments in River Forest, and it's a development type that will support property values in the nearby neighborhood. I'd like to pause here, and the developer may come up to speak a little bit about the marketing of the townhomes. That was a topic that came back to us a couple times from staff and from our first presentation. The question was, and I'll be short to get to the point. There was a question on whether these townhomes would be marketable. Are folks going to buy them? And some of you will remember that I represented another developer who did the Madison townhomes at this very podium. When that development came before the village board, there was a question of to the developer that said, well, are you going to sell them or are you going to rent them? And the testimony was, we're not sure. We're going to let the market tell us. And so that development always had a plan B. If we can't sell them, we will rent them. That affected a lot of things that you see today in those townhomes. It affected the ultimate architecture and the finishes and the planning of the interiors of those, and the that's not the case here. There is no plan B. The plan is to market these in the best way possible to be able to sell them. In my world, that's important because in order to sell them, you have to put in the kind of amenities that will sell. I may or may not be making my point. Maybe the developer can back that up. It's a certain prototype. And when you set that prototype to a sell product, you're going to get a better product. It's just fundamental. There's the economics of it, of that are different than the economics of a rental. I think that starts to address the question of will these sell. The marketing team, and unfortunately Mariano Molo, who was here for the first meeting, had a scheduling thing and he couldn't be present. He is somebody that I collaborate with on a regular basis. He knows the area. He marketed the townhomes in Forest Park that sold out before they were finished in the all-time district. And he knows what unit type, and he's told the developer what unit type. I'm a little bit over my skis here and as the architect development person, but the client is here and he's present at all those meetings. At the end of the day, because this is a privately owned, privately funded development, he has to make money and he has to get a bank that says, we've reviewed this product, we've reviewed your marketing study, and we believe that you will have a successful project. No bank ever gets into a development like this to have the developer not make money. And so in that framework, I think that starts to answer the question about marketability. Art Gurvich is going to take a substantial risk, but a calculated risk in making sure that the townhomes do sell at the price that they are, that the performer lists them. So I don't know if you want to fill in that, but there is one other caveat that is within my wheelhouse as the architect. So when the development package came out and Lisa forwarded that to us, I had a chance to review it with Art Gurvich, the developer, and the marketing team, and John Hauziel's report to us. And we tried to use that in a constructive manner and see how we could impact the development to start to address some of the areas and, frankly, concerns that John raised. There were some complimentary things, but if they were, it basically, and this is the way I understood it, John will be here at the microphone to make his case on that, but I understood it as the density as a number is not fundamentally the issue, but when you translate that number 18, into the housing type that we're proposing, townhomes, the site starts to grow elbows and grow a little closer than what John would recommend if he were on the design side. And those are good, that's a constructive feedback. So what we did is we took that feedback and said, how would a site plan that starts to address, and I keep saying John Housiel, but I mean the Housiel-Levine report, how would that impact the site? So that's the reason why you have that second plan in front of you. We quickly turned something around and sent that to Lisa. And if you could put the next slide on, Lisa. So we're calling this alternate site plan. And Mr. Chairman, sorry for that confusion, but we fundamentally took those and said, how could we increase the setbacks on Bonnie Bray, on Thomas, and on the alley, and not suffer great losses? So we essentially took green space and two parking spaces and eliminated it between townhome 4 and 3, 9 and 10, and 15 and 16. So we brought those units together. They have a total separation of 12 feet. That's it, between units. And we transferred that to Thomas, giving it a greater setback, where before we had 5 feet, on this plan, we have 13 feet. We reduced the courtyards and made the front yard compliant. Remember, we were asking for 15 feet or 5 foot relief. On this alternate site plan, we are not asking for relief, so it is a 20 foot setback to the front property line. And then on the rear property line, we went from 5 to 8 feet, giving it a little more breathing space. So we did not lose the number of units, so we're still at 18 units. The interior parking stayed at two parking spaces per unit for 36. We did reduce the guest parking from 4 to 2. And that's the difference between this site plan, as we're calling the alternate site plan, and the site plan that was in your packet, Mr. Chairman. This is just for consideration. We understand that you're getting this at the 11th hour. Other consultants have not reviewed this. We may, at the commission's request, we may have a pause before you vote. We're not asking you to vote on this, but certainly maybe your consultants would get a chance to review that.
All right, anything else you want to?
No, Mr. Chairman. I think the developer would like to address the board, Mr. Chairman.
Just a few words about marketing. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Art Gurevich, and I'm the developer of this project. And just a few words about the marketing of this type of units. We are not new to this unit, or this unit is not new to us. We have quite an experience with building this type of a project in the city, and they were very successful. We built similar type of a unit in Oak Park a few years ago, and they sold very fast. Another developer built similar units not far away from where we were in Oak Park, and they also were very successful. So we built a better unit, but neither here. So this type of unit is more of an urban type townhouse. It's not huge. It has everything that a buyer may want in a townhouse, and it's a very attractive product to a townhome buyer. And of course, we're using the highest quality materials on the outside and on the inside, and that's also a big plus. So buyers who buy from us know us, and they follow us, and they know our product, and most are very happy with what they're buying from us. Thank you.
When you were before us before with your other plan that was approved, how many condominium units were in that plan?
There were 15 in the big building and 6 in the small building, so 21 units.
You think so? 21 units? Okay.
Oh, 3, I'm sorry. 3. We're deconverting. Yes, we are deconverting from 6 to 3, so 18. 15 plus 3, 18.
You sure that's your guess now?
It's not a guess. There were 15 units in the big building and 3 large units in a deconverted building.
18.
18.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Sheese, anybody else who you want to participate in the presentation of this plan at this time?
Not at this time, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to call on the village staff and the village consultants and hear their comments on the plan.
So we have participating remotely our Public Works Director, John Anderson, our Fire Chief, Kurt Bowman, Village Engineer Jeff Loster, and I think our Fire Marshal Kevin Wiley is on the call as well. I do not have a representative from the Police Department. I thought I could represent on their behalf since their comments are fairly straightforward. And then, of course, we have John Househill here in the audience.
All right, so why don't we start with the Fire Department and, sure. And ask them to.
So,
good evening, Mr. Chairman.
You were
we just had about three
right?
issues. I'm sorry, what?
You were sworn in previously, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
We have three issues with the development right now. We'd like to see the units renumbered from south to north, just to stay consistent with the rest of the numbering in the village. We'd like to see a detail of the utility layout coming into each unit. We don't want to see all the utilities bunched together in one, you know, in a small 2-foot space on each building. And we just got the new site plan, you know, within a couple hours. So we haven't had a chance to check to see whether the balconies are far enough away in the alley from there's power overhead power lines that run down that alley on that side. And we want to make sure that those are far enough that they're out of reach for anybody that's on that balcony. But those are the three main issues that we have with the development.
Anybody have any questions for the fire chief?
No.
Thank you for the input. And we got the fire marshal, you said?
The fire marshal, I don't know that he has anything to add, but I'll let Kevin, are there any other comments you want to add to Kurt's comments?
No, that was it. That was, I haven't had a chance to take a good look at the presentation either. So, but we will tomorrow.
You got the village engineer, you said?
Yes. Yeah, so either John Anderson or Jeff Loster, you guys could present the report from Public Works and Engineering.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. This is John Anderson, Public Works Director. We had a number
of. You were sworn in, right?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
We had a number of issues that we put in the memo that mostly deal with the site constraints in terms of storing and unloading and loading material of the equipment in that area. So any anticipated usage of the public right of way should be indicated and a plan should be provided for that. And also the. Snow removal could be difficult because of the small site, so there should also be a plan for removing snow there since it won't hold snow a significant amount there. But probably the main issues there have to do with the utilities and the water main. The water main will likely need to be looped from Bonnie Brae through the site and then back to Bonnie Brae, and their current plans don't show that. We know the IEPA has told us that the looping is required. It's required on another development site that we had a few years ago, so we think it'll be required here as well. And the water main infrastructure on the north side of the site, there's only a 5-foot width to get to that after it's installed. And so if there's any breaks later on, it will be very difficult to get to that area and fix it. So we'd recommend a 10-foot width in order to get to a potential break in the water main there. And also the utility service locations, there needs to be an approximate layout of the site of all the utilities, including gas, electric, communications as well. So those are our issues.
All right, any questions for Public Works?
I have a question. Just talking about the snow removal, how will you determine, you know, how much is too much, or what will be their responsibility of how much snow can be left around the property? Or is it just all of it has to be gone whenever it snows, or how is it done?
So after a few inches of snow, usually a site needs a couple of spaces that are vacant or sectioned off for snow to be stored. This site doesn't appear to have that. So since that's not the case and there's a parking limitation there, there would just have to be a plan to get the snow removed by whoever is doing snow removal from the site entirely so that there's enough spaces available for everyone.
All right, any other questions? Lisa, is there any, are there any other village staff that are on the Zoom that should address this?
No, I would just say that the police department's memo is included in the packet, and from a public safety perspective, they don't see any issues with the development or have any requests of the developer.
Okay. All right, then we'll let Mr. Houseel address this.
All right, and for the record, I was sworn in. All right, so I'm going to, I guess I have a couple of questions before I start. For the record, John Houseel, Village's planning consultant. I've got the memo I can go through now, which you all received for the site plan that was proposed as part of the packet, but the applicant has indicated an alternative site plan that they may want the DRB or the Village to consider, acknowledging that myself and even listening to Village staff comment they haven't had yet the opportunity to review it. So I guess I'm wondering, Mr. Chairman, if I should go through my memo now addressing a site plan that may not even be on the table, or should I give some preliminary comments on my thoughts on the new concept that I reviewed a couple hours ago and wait for a detailed assessment based off of a review of that site plan? So I guess
we have dealt with this before is we have a presentation, we have an application before us.
Okay.
That's the one I think we should address.
Okay.
I mean, if they decide at a later time that they want to amend the application, then we'll go through the process again and ask you to review it. But I think we should deal with what we've been presented with and what we've had an opportunity to review.
Okay, fair enough. Then that's what I will do. And then when I'm done going through a review of what they proposed, I can give some initial comments on this alternate one, having not had a chance to review it in detail, but some initial thoughts. So again, I'm just going to go through planning and zoning per the development that's been proposed in your packet. Not understanding that the site plan they presented was accurate, but the table was had a couple of inconsistencies. I'll go through the consistency of what they're asking for. So first, the site right now on Bonnie Brae and Thomas is zoned R4. Surrounding properties are zoned R3, R4, and across the street to the west is Concordia University zoned PRI. They're proposing 18 units in six buildings, three-story townhome units. The comprehensive plan designates the subject property for multifamily. So in terms of land use, the land use the applicant proposing is appropriate. The comprehensive plan calls out for multifamily residential, which according to the plan could consist of townhomes, row homes, condominiums, apartments, things like that. It doesn't dictate one. So the townhomes proposed in terms of its use are consistent with the comprehensive plan. The proposed development also is consistent with several other goals of the comprehensive plan without enumerating all of them with regard to providing high quality residential housing options and development that increases the diversity and range of housing options in the village. And as the applicant indicated, we don't have a lot of townhome developments relative to other types of development. So this would begin to bolster the recommendations of the comprehensive plan with regard to land use and different offering different types of dwelling options and housing options for village residents. There are a couple of things I want to point out that may be not necessarily inconsistencies, but things the Development Review Board and Village may wish to consider. I don't believe that the building to the north, the three-story existing building that's going to be removed as part of this development, I don't believe it has any historic designation technically, but it's a beautiful old building. Mm-hmm. And so one of the goals of the comprehensive plan does state that there's an objective to quote-unquote protect and enhance historic and architecturally valued structures. So it doesn't say historically designated or architecturally designated, but valued. And I think anytime an older structure is removed in River Forest, I think that provides some value and character to the neighborhoods. So consideration needs to be given to the loss of structure, not just the addition of new structure. So again, not necessarily inconsistent, but the comprehensive plan does call out we need to consider the historic and architectural value of older buildings. And this is an older building that would be lost. So again, not it's an inconsistency, but something to bring up. The other thing that's not in my report that I think probably should be based off of recent discussions in the village, the comprehensive plan does talk about an objective to try to improve and protect appropriately affordable housing that exists in the village. I don't know if these units are deemed affordable. I have no idea if they are or not, but they are existing units in the village that are proposed to be removed and be replaced with additional other types of units. So again, I think this should be a discussion about the unit and the building that is coming down in addition to the buildings that are being proposed. Again, it's not an inconsistency with the comprehensive plan, but the comprehensive plan says we should be raising the issue or at least considering it. So I think it's something that we should consider. Again, it's not inconsistent with the comprehensive plan. But in terms of land use development designation, it's primarily and more importantly, I think generally consistent with and supportive of the comprehensive plan. When it comes to the zoning of the proposed townhouse development, there are several site development allowances that are required. Some, from a planning and development perspective, I'm less concerned with. Others are a bit more telling of the proposal. Hats off to Mr. Sheets for, I think, accurately describing or characterizing my general concerns with the development. I think he did that very well, and I'll reiterate those. I think the type of development, townhomes, is appropriate for the site. I personally and professionally, given the character of this neighborhood and of River Forest, I don't think 18 units is a number that should alarm anybody for this location onto this site. The concern that I had and most of the site development allowances reflect the fact, and my memo does, is concern with the type of development being proposed at 18 units. If this was one building with small apartments in it and there were 18 units or condominiums, they'd be much more substantial setbacks. It'd be one centralized building, a lot of landscaping, maybe a nice courtyard, whatever. But these are six buildings all separated by space. It pushes everything to the edges. So it's not the unit count that is of more concern to me or the parking that is of concern to me. It is this type of 18 units on this site that is a bit more challenging to accommodate appropriately. As Mr. Shee said, this type of unit needs a little bit more elbow room, and it's beginning to bump into some of the things next to it. So with that, I'll go through some of the site development allowances. The minimum land area, and we talk minimum land area, we're talking density. And the way we calculate this in River Forest is there's a certain amount of land area that has to be provided for every unit you propose. So that's how we get at density. And in the village of River Forest, you're required to have 2,800 square feet of ground, earth, for every unit on the site. and it's 18 units given the size of the site, 27,000 square feet. They're about 1,200 square feet per unit as opposed to 2,800 square feet per unit. So they need a 1,262-foot site development allowance per unit. What that equates to is they're proposing 18 units. Technically, they should only have 9 if they abide by the strict letter of the underlying zoning. So they need a site development allowance technically for minimum land area, not parcel size, but it's land area per unit. They need 2,800 square feet per unit. They're proposing 1,262 square feet per unit. So about double the density zoning permits. Lot area is fine. It exceeds the minimum requirement. Lot width meets it. It's 150 is required. They're proposing 150. The lot area minimum is 26,136. They're proposing 27,681. So they comply with lot area. They comply with lot width. Lot coverage is something they need. Lot coverage is the amount of building that covers up the pervious surface or the footprint of the building. The footprint of the building is allowed to be 70%. They're at 76%. Again, part of a characteristic of multiple buildings spread apart as opposed to multiple units in a singular building. So they're slightly over by 6% lot coverage. Maximum FAR, they're required to be or allowed to be 1.5. They're at 1.29, so they're fine. FAR is the square footage of the livable space of all the buildings combined. Right now, their maximum FAR they could be is a little over 41,000 square feet. And the floor area they are proposing is about 35,000 square feet. So they're under where they could be, so they're fine on floor area. Building height, they're fine. They're allowed to go to 45 feet. They're just a little over 40 feet. So they do not need a height variation. They do not need a floor area variation. They do need several setbacks, and this is where, as a townhome product versus one building, they begin to push out to the edges of the site. So the front setback along Bonnie Bray needs to be 20 feet. As required, they are proposing 15 feet. So they need a 5-foot front setback variation or site development allowance off of Bonnie Bray. Corner front setback, that is the setback off of Thomas. It's sort of a secondary front because it's a corner piece of property. They're required to be 25 feet off of that corner setback. They're proposed to be 5 feet off of Thomas. So they would need a 20-foot setback site development allowance off of Thomas. That's the southern setback. The rear setback is another very tight configuration. They're required to be 27.6 feet off of the alley in the back, the eastern setback. They're proposing 5 feet. So they would need a rear yard setback off the alley of 22.67 feet. Is how much relief they would need for site development allowance. Again, rear setback off the alley, that eastern edge. In addition to a setback for the rear, developments have to have a certain rear yard area. So not just a setback, but how much of that rear area is devoted square footage wide to a rear yard. And their rear yard requirement is 15% of the lot size of the area. And they're only at 3%. So they would need a 12% rear yard area requirement, site development allowance. They're supposed to have a little over 4,000 square feet, 4,152, and they've got a little less than 1,000. They've got 839. So they're proposing 3% rear yard area. They need 15% rear yard area. They would need a 12% site development allowance for their rear yard area on the development. Again, this is a characteristic of those last two buildings, 5 and 6, being pushed to the alley or close to the alley. Side yard setback to the north is required to be 3 feet. They're proposing 5. They're fine. Residential parking, they're required to be by village code 2.5 units per acre. That would give them a total required parking for residents, not guest parking, resident parking of 45 spaces. They're proposing 36 spaces. So technically they need 9 parking space site development allowance because they're providing 9 less than required. They are proposing 2 parking spaces per unit, which for this type of development is appropriate, especially with guest parking also provided. So the code requires 2.5 spaces per unit. They are proposing 2 spaces per unit in enclosed garages. So they would need 9 spaces relief from residence parking. Guest parking on their current plan, they're required to have 4 spaces and they propose 4 spaces. So they provide sufficient guest parking. They are deficient in resident assigned parking by 9 spaces. So again, there's seven different development allowances that they're requesting. One is for the overall density, number of units. Five are what I would consider to be bulk related, setback, FAR, lot coverage, things that have to do with the physical parameters. And then one has to do with parking. So one is density, five has to do with the size of the buildings and the size and the site layout, and one has to do with parking. So those are the seven site development allowances they have. So I'll just talk a little bit about these and other characteristics. The overall site plan, again, as the applicant has sort of characterized the intent of this memo when we met with them, the number of units don't bother me so much professionally in terms of the character of the site and the character of the neighborhood and what can be accommodated on site in terms of units and parking and access and circulation. It is the townhouse development itself as a product that's challenging to fit onto this site. So the site plan itself leaves some challenges. The architectural detail, the materials, and again, I haven't seen any material samples. I know we brought some. Seems to be of fine quality. The architecture is of high quality. It's a unique design. It's very attractive. I've seen other developments like this, but it is mostly attractive when viewed head-on from Bonnie Bray. As you're driving northbound on Bonnie Bray or on either direction on Thomas, my perception is that you have way too big a view corridor into the auto courts. And all it's going to be perceived is row after row after row of parking into the site. The auto courts are very wide without the opportunity, because of lack of setback on Thomas, to landscape or screen those views. You've only got a few feet off the sidewalk on Thomas with a few plants in front of the building. There's no opportunity to screen that view into the auto courts or the garages, again, because of the layout, because they're townhomes. So building material, I think, is nice and appropriate, high quality. The overall architectural style, I think, is appropriate and attractive. The Bonnie Bray elevations, that western elevation, I think, is very attractive. I think there needs to be some a little bit more detail on the southern elevation along Thomas. Thomas is a front, so it can't be treated like the side of a building. That's just the way it is. And I think there needs to be more detail on the south elevation. And if we can't do anything to screen the auto courts, the rear of these buildings have very prominent views, so I think there needs to be more architectural detail on the rear of the buildings. It doesn't have to be as extensive as the Bonnie Bay frontage, but the south elevation along Thomas needs to be enhanced architecturally, and the rear facades along the auto courts, I think, have to be, again, primarily because the view to those is so prominent from several different directions. So that's the comment on architecture and building materials. Circulation and parking. Circulation and access onto the site is really very easy. It's very direct off of Thomas and very convenient off the alley. Because it's a straight shot coming in off of Thomas and because the way it's oriented on the alley, again, easy to get access to your garage from your car. I think fairly easy to access from emergency response vehicles. Visually, you're looking at basically from several perspectives, the rear of buildings. And in most residential developments, when you see them, you see the side of the front, you don't really have a good view to the back. And that's by multifamily design. This development, you see very prominently the rear of these buildings. So I think more attention needs to be put to the rear, but circulation is fine. Parking, two parking spaces per unit for this type of product is typical and I think appropriate. I think the village requirement across the board of 2.5 parking spaces per unit is a little bit antiquated, probably one of those things we might want to revisit with the village's traffic consultant, especially based on different product type. But enclosed garages with two spaces for this type of product, I think, is appropriate. So that 9-space site development allowance request for resident parking is not a concern. And again, based off of this proposal and this site plan, they don't need an allowance for guest parking. They comply with their requirement for 4. Landscaping, I think, is attractive, especially reviewed from Bonnie Bray. The deficiency I see is the amount of landscape area made available on the site plan along Thomas. I've also made some recommendations about a little bit more utilization of some of the larger vertically oriented landscaping material that they proposed. In some of these cases, there's only one or two of these species on site. I think there's opportunity for more of these species on site. And I think with the applicant's alternative site plan, there's even more opportunity for enhanced landscaping. But again, landscaping is attractive, needs to be beefed up a little bit in terms of the bigger vertical elements and more landscaping on the south side is the biggest deficiency right now due to the lack of setback. And the number of U's they're proposing, U's are sort of meant to be sort of like a foundation planting or screening. I'm less concerned about the exact number shown on the plan versus how it looks when they're installed. Those things want to be a bit more continuous upon grow out, as opposed to a circle template that happens to bump up with each other on the site plan, but will never really fill in that space. So that needs to be more with a note on the plan saying X number or whatever it needs to provide that continuous row or hedge or whatever, as opposed to just sticking to the sheer number of views. Minor, easily fixed. Lighting, I didn't see a photometric plan in my submittal. I don't know if I saw it. I didn't see it. If it was in there and I missed it, I apologize. But based on the fixtures and locations indicated on the renderings, the lighting should be just fine and will likely abide by the half a foot candle at the property line as per the village's code. But we want to verify that with the photometric plan that's done with tear sheets submitted for standard tear sheets for the lighting application. I haven't seen that, but based on the architectural designated sites, should be fine. So again, my conclusions are that in terms of the land use, it's appropriate. In terms of the residential densities, the site can accommodate it. It's not something that is out of characteristics for the neighborhood that I think the village should be alarmed with the fact that it's higher than the underlying zoning permits. I can't remember the last time we even entertained a proposal for a multifamily development where the developer wasn't asking for more units than our ordinance provides or accommodates. So I think the number of units is appropriate, provided site alterations are made. 18 units on the site isn't an issue. 18 townhouse units, the way they're proposed, is an issue because of the physical site plan. Guest parking is fine. Parking in general is fine. Lot coverage, I think, is nominal. They're asking for 76% as opposed to 70%. I think that's fine. The biggest issues that I have are the lack of setback off of Thomas, the resulting lack of landscaping off of Thomas, preferred a little bit bigger setback on Bonnie Bray and a little bit more on the alley, and a little bit better sort of cross circulation of landscaping, open space, and pedestrian mobility on the site. So those are my goal, my concerns or objectives for the plan before us. And just to address the applicants, just to sort of, so everybody can wrap their heads around it a little bit, the alternate site plan, which was done in response to my memorandum, which is why I want to respond to it. On first blush, again, I just saw this a couple of hours ago. I think it is a better site plan than what is proposed in their application. I applaud them for trying to be responsive to some of the concerns that have been raised. It does reduce two guest parking spaces from 4 to 2. I'm less concerned about that. One of the things that it does by increasing the setback off of the alley on the eastern setback is now all those driveway pads are 8 feet deep. And for someone who has a detached garage on an alley, I can tell you when college kids come home or somebody is visiting and there's another car at that house, they will park parallel in next to the alley door off the alley, not obstructed to the alley, all on private property. And that now has an 8-foot driveway pad into each one of those garages. Each one of those would be able to hold a guest parking space or car, not on the street, not in the alley, for any one of those on the alley. So you actually pick up an additional, I don't know if the applicant knew this or not, but you now have the ability, although not designated spaces because you're blocking in who's in the car, in practical application for someone visiting me in my townhouse, they can park next to my garage door and be just fine. So they're eliminating two on-site guest parking spaces, but they're actually now providing potential guest parking spaces for everybody along the alley in front of their garage doors, which I think is a plus. I'm less concerned about the fact that the buildings are a little bit tighter together if the landscaping is done appropriately and we don't have a landscape plan for the redesign. It is also a better pedestrian site as a result of the revised site plan because they have a pedestrian path that literally goes through the site from Bonnie Bray east-west all the way back to the alley with a meandering sidewalk. Before, that sidewalk was not consistent because it was blocked by those two guest parking spaces at two locations. Now you have a continuous sidewalk going from Bonnie Bray sidewalk all the way to the alley. And it's a much better design than just having a sidewalk tee into a parking spot and stopping. So at first blush, I think there is merit in pausing to consider if the applicant wants and it's so directed by village to consider and looking at this with the applicant, making it even better than proposed. But at first blush, the revised site plan seems to address a lot of concerns, I think, or with the current proposed site, and makes it a better, more viable, more neighborhood appropriate, and more attractive development given the site and a townhouse product. So.
All right, we have any questions for Mr. Housefield?
So I have one question.
Yeah.
So with this new configuration, you are now not as concerned about, quote, the density issue as much.
Yeah, and if you read my first memo as well, and I think the applicant characterized it correctly, I'm not, I 18 units on this site doesn't, to me, it's not inappropriate. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't result in this behemoth of a building that this is inappropriate. It's the fact that if it was an apartment building or a condo building with 1,000 square foot units or 1,200 square foot units, it'd have a real nice big yard. All no, we wouldn't even know. It's the fact that you've got 18 units distributed through six buildings, all separated and pushed to the edge. So the fact that they've tightened that in, increased the landscaping, the pedestrian mobility, and really substantially increased the setbacks on Thomas and Bonnie Bray and off the alley, I think that's a win.
Makes it more attractive.
I think it makes it much more attractive to the neighborhood, mm-hmm. the characteristics of people walking or driving by, and it probably makes it better for the residents of this development and certainly doesn't detract for the residents of this development. So I think it's a much better approach. The density does not
concern you.
Concern me at all.
And what is the square foot of the units now? Is it about 1,500?
2,400.
Oh, they're 2,400. Okay.
John, do you know the buildings to the north of this development? Do we know the setbacks roughly or the
off of Bonnie Bray?
Yeah, off of Bonnie Bray.
John says he does. I looked at the again, snapping some lines on Google Earth or whatever, and a lot of the setbacks along Bonnie Bray range anywhere between 40 plus or minus to 50 plus or minus as you go up and down Bonnie Bray. The applicant was proposing 15. They're required to be 20. The alternate site plan meets the 20, right. So we can't require them necessarily to say, we know zoning says 20, we want you to be 40, because so I don't think that is inappropriate. If we could get it to 20 like the revised plan shows, I think that's a win, because it would be a bit more in keeping with what's to the north and south up and down Bonnie Bray.
And isn't it just south? I know I went and walked the property just south across the street. That side setback, I mean, you're on the sidewalk and you're right into their front step when you
you're right there. That's a real tight older. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yes,
right.
And I
right.
think the front setback isn't that large either.
It's not. It's right. not. And it's
so that would, for me, that doesn't give me as much heartburn, because as you're coming north, it's you're here and this, that is very tight. And then you're coming to this. Which,
correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, it's you can look at a lot of different areas of River Forest that are characterized by different types of development. This is truly a mixed residential neighborhood.
Yeah.
There's single family, there's duplex, there's triplex, there's multifamily, there's condos, there's apartments, there's potentially townhomes. I mean, there is no set characteristic that rhythms up and down the street like a lot of other areas. And what they're proposing is not out of whack with what's there. With the revised site plan, I think it could be much better and really be an attractive looking development as perceived by people who don't live in it but drive and walk by it in the neighborhood. So I'm encouraged by their alternate that they're floating up here for consideration. I don't want to look at it more, but I'm encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Heather, where Ann, do you have a question?
Is there any part of affordable housing that could be put into this development?
The question is, can affordable housing be worked into this development? That's a question I think the developer would have to answer. I don't know. That's sort of a numbers game to make the numbers pan out. As proposed, I'm fairly confident to say these would not be affordable units. The affordable units for renter or owner occupied is way, way, way below this threshold. I also don't know if the three units in that building to the north that are going to be removed as part of this development, that existing building. I don't know what the status is of those being affordable or not. I don't know. Affordable just means at the lower end of market rate. It's not below market rate or subsidized. So it's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if it was considered. I don't know. The affordable housing plan wasn't adopted at the time this was on board, so they weren't technically bound by it. It wasn't in the review procedures because their application was before that. Mm-hmm. But the comprehensive plan does state that we, again, two things. We want to consider valued historic or architectural buildings, not significant or designated, but if they're of value. And I think this one, maybe it is, maybe it's not. And the comprehensive plan also says we should take a look at and consider the protection of and improvement of existing affordable housing. So it's a conversation we should have. I don't know the answer to that.
Any other questions for Mr. Housefield at this time? Thank you, John.
Yep.
Is there any other village staff that need to address us on this issue?
I don't believe so, no.
All right, so this is a time when we would ask for public testimony. But before we do that, let me ask the developer, do you want to ask us to recess so you can amend your plan and we'll come back at a later time and consider the amended plan? Or do you want us to continue with the plan that was submitted and distributed for everyone to review?
Before I answer that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say this is one of the reasons why I really enjoy working in River Forest. John Housefield provides really interesting challenges.
Too many adjectives.
Yeah. you know, his comment about, I'm not sure if the architect or developer thought about setting the alley units, that's exactly what I told the developer. And the college person, it's like a mind melding thing. It does. It provides six additional potential because all you have to do is drive to another development that Mr. Gurevich was the generator for, the Oasis in Oak Park. We're set back 8-9 feet. You drive there today, and I will put $100 on the table. You will see people parking there. Kids are home from school. They all do that. And that's not a bad thing. It takes cars off the street and gives them the ability. Yes, that car has to move before the other two, but it does provide that. So, Mr. Chairman, to your question, I consulted with my client, and I believe it would be beneficial for us to request a pause in the hearing to allow us to further work with Mr. Housefield, the fire department, hello, Kevin, folks like that, the engineering department. They raised some interesting concerns. We read them over. We think that we will be able to address those concerns satisfactorily. And so for all those reasons, we would like to request a pause, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So perhaps what we should do is consider a motion to continue the hearing to a set date to permit the applicant to present an amended application, one that is complete, and it doesn't surprise us as the last moment. And if such application is submitted, we will pick up the hearing again with the applicant making a presentation and the village comments, and we will eventually get to the public comments. But as long as this plan is being withdrawn, I don't think there's any reason to have public comments now, because we don't know what the applicant is going to ask us to consider. So
I'll make a motion.
How long do you think it will take you to submit an amended application and give staff and the board 2 weeks to review that application?
Well, we can, Mr. Chairman, speaking for our team, I think we can turn the comments around fairly quickly. I would, if my client were here, he would want them turned around today. But I think a 2 week period to get everything buttoned up, submit it to staff. So I would, if you're thinking about a date, probably 4 weeks out. Lisa?
The next regularly scheduled meeting of the Development Review Board is July 2nd. After that, it's July 16th. And then the next meeting date after that is August 6th.
All right. You think you'll be able to submit everything in final form for us to consider by July 2nd?
Yes.
All right. And I'm telling you, if it's not here, if it comes in on July 5th, we're going to continue the hearing again.
I understand, Mr. Chairman.
All right, because we're not going to take stuff at the. It's not fair on the board members, and it's not fair on the people who wish to comment, in the who are part of the public, to be have this information given to us as we walk in the door.
I understand. A point of clarification, though, Mr. Chairman, you said having the material delivered by July 2nd. That would be our submittal by
yes.
July 2nd, not a meeting on July
no.
2nd.
No, a complete submittal.
Thank you, Mr.
And if,
Chairman.
And if
yes.
Ms. Shiner tells me that you're missing one page, we're not going to have a hearing on the 16th.
I understand.
I'd like to clarify that in order to produce this, we do need it by the start of business on July 2nd, not at the end.
Understood.
Okay, so if somebody want to make a, is everybody in agreement with what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So will somebody make a motion to continue this hearing on this application to July 16th and instruct the applicant to have the completed amended application by noon on July 2nd?
I'll make the motion.
I make that motion. Does anybody want to second it?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All right, do you want to call the roll, please, Lisa?
Carolyn, you seconded it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, Ms. Kilbride?
Yes.
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, so we are going to continue this to the date that we have set. We encourage the everyone who intended to address us tonight. We hope you will be with us in July, and at that time we will may have a different plan to be considered. So there's nothing else on the agenda. Can we have a motion to dismiss?
I move.
Mrs. Fishman moves. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. You want to call again? Council has suggested we have to call the roll because of this meeting. So do you want to?
Ms. Fishman?
Yes.
Ms. Kilbride?
Yes.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right. We're adjourned. Thank you for coming, and we'll see you in a month.